In our study on Sunday, we did some movement in the light of our American heritage and history, in the light of our Declaration. And in the light of the Declaration, I guess one of those leaders out there and running around the country said that we need to get rid of Independence Day. We have no right being an independent nation. We have no right doing that. So in the meantime, we might as well enjoy the right until it's taken from us. Now, in the light of that, Hebrews chapter 11, and you will notice, please, that basic truth, foundational truth, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible. That means you can't do it any other way. Impossible to please him, to please God. For he that is cometh to God must believe that he is. He is. I am that I am. He must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder, a payer in full, pays in full, a rewarder of them that diligently search with effort and energy, that diligently seek him. So, that we shared all those different things on Sunday in that. Now, in the light of that, the founding fathers, the people that came to the country, and for 156 years they had been going to church and reading and doing everything until the Declaration, and with the British, etc. Now, so therefore, they had to understand, they did understand, that's why they left Europe, etc., to what? To seek God. To seek God. That's the thing he wanted to do. To seek God. And you couldn't, having the Bible back then, they could have copies of the Bible. Having the Bible, you would have to understand you can't read the Bible, which they were doing, and look at the world around you, and the world around you was not doing what God had required or requested or desired. And they were all doing their thing, and for many reasons. Now, so here they are. They're going to leave and come to America, and they're seeking God. We did all of that, no question. In seeking God, they're seeking light in a world loving darkness. They're seeking life in a world that is dead and trespasses in sin. They're seeking liberty in a world of bondage, and they're seeking to find and look to God to find him. That's what they're looking for. And a little help to remind us what they read. Luke chapter 6. And in Luke chapter 6, may I pick up, please, in thought, if I can, picking up in verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it. Why? For it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was very great. So what's the foundation? Is it the way of the European nations? Is it the way of Britain? What kind of foundation are you talking about, God? We're talking about a foundation that doesn't succumb, doesn't get overwhelmed, is able to prevail. So therefore, they're going to have that. So having said that and keeping that in mind, they're going to go and they're going to seek God with all their heart. And when you seek God with all your heart, you're going to find him. That is the rule, God's rule. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. All your heart, not part of it, not 10%, not 20%. All your heart. I don't want part of your heart. It's either all your heart. You say, I sought God. Did you do it with all your heart? If you didn't do it with all your heart, then don't expect much. Because the requirement is all your heart. Now, having said that, what's that mean? It means war. War. So if I seek God with all my heart, then I'm going to find myself on God's side of the road, and I'm going to find the other side of the road isn't happy with that. Darkness and death is not happy with light and life. So it isn't very happy. So therefore, we're going to have war. So when they come to know the Lord as a Savior, they're going to have a conflict internally. So is everyone. Hang on to that part. Now, over with that in mind, over to 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, you recall, in chapter 2, and there's war. So when you find the Lord as your Savior, you're going to find a whole new way inside of you. Because before, you could be in darkness, the world is in darkness, the whole system is in darkness, and there's no disturbance. But when you receive the Lord as your Savior, He, the light of the world, He brings light and life to your life. And now you've got that old nature that is set until God changes it at His soon return. You have that old nature that is just going to go and is dead set, Romans 8, 6 through 8, is dead set against God. It never, 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 never will honor God. And that's a whole other conflict you never had until you came to know the Lord as your Savior. And that's why it is so hard for us, for believers, to believe. Because your old nature doesn't want to believe. It'll be religious up to its eyeballs. It'll do everything. Do good, care about things, change your life, change your habits. But all of it is a maneuver to avoid doing what God asked or said, using in a case, reckon yourself dead, period. No more talk, do it. And our old nature hates that. You try to do it. You try to live like that tonight before you go to bed. And watch how hard that is. You'll have all your reasoning, and you won't do it. I'm telling you, it's the way it is. It's our old nature. You don't want that. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, dearly beloved, we are reminded, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war where against the soul. And lust, the must have it, move it, movement for I, me, and my to be expressed in our life. And therefore, we're going to find war. And that's what we just tried to think about. So Christ is the light and life and liberty. And when we come to know the Lord as our Savior, then that life, light, and liberty, life, light, life, and liberty, is going to find opposition. And in the opposition, we're going to find a war. So I got to start there. If I want to solve and see the world in which I live objectively and correctly, I need to see myself. If I don't see myself, because I'm part of the world and so are you, the world system is nothing more than 7+ billion of us walking around Earth. That's the world system. So it's us. So identify yourself properly, you'll identify the world. Now, having said that, over to 2 Corinthians, because the war, and we need to add a little point about the war, which you know, in 2 Corinthians, if I can, chapter chapter 10. Hold it. I'll get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. Remember now, what you're looking at is war in the heart. And how do we wage the war in our heart? How are we going to fight habits, thinking, what do we do with our depression, disappointment, despair, all the different words and describe our in and outs of thinking and feeling, fearing and faulting and complaining and everything? How do we handle that? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, sliding down to verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, in this body, we do not war after the flesh, the war inside your heart. But you don't war after the flesh. The flesh hates God. So you're never going to win. You're never going to win because your old nature's against it. In other words, you got the wrong ally to go against God, to go against the enemy, because it's the enemy itself that you're using and hooking up with. So it isn't the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly. No, they're not. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, thought process, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, capturing it, every thought to the obedience of Christ. We can't do it then in ourselves. So if you want to win, you want victory, you want to be able to do it, you can't do it by yourself. God has to do it. And the weapons you have are not, you don't have the weapons. God does. And I'll do one thing in the light of our time. Over to Romans in chapter 6. Our weapons are not fleshly. We can't do it that way. Our weapons are armament. And here in Romans chapter 6, you will note our little word, weapons. Weapons. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, dynamic, pulling down strongholds. So when I come to chapter 6 in Romans, may I slide down directly to, in the light of the context, verse 13. Neither yield, present yourselves, as instruments, neither yield your members, eyes, ears, nose, mouth, hands, brain, blood, bone, brawn, every part of your body, your whole physical body, neither yield your members as instruments. You see the word instruments? That is the word weapons. Armor, armament, weapons. Translated, instruments. The members of yield ye your members as arms. How are we going to fight? Well, we have to yield what do we have to fight with? We have our same hands. We could punch the bad guy in the nose with our hand, but then that's our flesh and whatever. Now, God, help us. Rest of verse 13. Neither don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but on the contrary, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, eyes, ears, nose, throat, as instruments, there's your word again, of righteousness unto God. Now, God, how am I going to fight? How am I going to fight my old nature? I'm not going to fight it with my own thinking, because my own thinking, my heart is deceitful and everything. I'm not going to come out with an answer. No, I'm going to have to take my brain, my blood, my bones, and look to God, who I received as my Savior. I sought God. I found God. I received God in person of Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'm able to look to God and yield my heart to God. And the only way I can overcome my old nature is to look to God, and I give God, and I have the right. You are the executive head of your life. You sit on the throne of your life. You run your life. You make choices. You are a creature of volition. You make choices. And you have the right to say yes or no. You may not have any power with it, but you have the right to choose this or choose that. And when you choose self, self is eager to be, and we're used to doing it as human creatures. But when I choose God, God becomes the owner and the power to outwork it all. So all of the normal feelings, fears, frustrations, all of that stuff inside of me, all of that inside of me, is now God, and it isn't dominating me, because this God and his word and his person and his grace and his mercy, and therefore the war in the heart, when I seek him with all my heart, that's what the founding fathers did, and they found when they did, they had war in their heart. Now, how are you going to win the war in your heart? You're not going to win it by joining and staying with Britain under the system. The system, they're seeking. They came to get out of the system. They came to get out. So they made a wonderful, wonderful declaration. A wonderful declaration of independence in order that they might exercise a relationship to God. Now, hang on to that. So here's the battle that we are going to be involved in our heart. And in the process, we either win or lose there. So before we go anywhere else, to work, home, school, family, friends, enemies, won't make any difference. I either win or lose in my heart when I choose it. We shared it in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 4. The imagination, your mind. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to say without doing it all, the mind. Let this mind, M-I-N-D, your thought process. Think of Romans 12, by the transforming of your mind. It's how you think. It isn't what you do or what you feel or your background or anything. It's how you think. And think right. And you can do that. And if you do that, you're going to find you'll win. And if you don't do that, you'll find you'll lose. It's simple as that. You can be a nice person and answer in a reasonable way, or you can be not so nice and answer in an unreasonable way. Now, who did that choice? Your mind did. You made a choice. And we're creatures of habit. So remember, that's why it's so easy to do silly thing, to pull your ear. If you did that all day long, without even thinking, you'll pull your ear. Because you just do it. It's your habits, what we have. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so God, here we are looking, and a war, and the war in the heart. Now, they understood that, and they had to have, they needed to stay with that, or else, and the British are there, they're going to have to confront them, which is to go the wrong direction. They would do that, which would take away the whole purpose of the founding fathers, to represent and know God. Now, so therefore, in March 23, 1775, you remember the second meeting in Virginia, the Great Council, and the councilors there, and they're dealing, getting all ready for meetings. It's the second meeting, and they're all there, and Patrick Henry gets up and gives his great speech, etc., to the convention against the British, against what's happening. And therefore, Patrick Henry, at the closing, in his magnificent way, said, "Give me liberty, and you know it. Give me liberty, or give me death." That's his closing remark. Liberty or nothing. Or bondage. That's what it's about, liberty, not bondage. Now, so therefore, when we come to the Declaration of Independence, we are going to find that the words are going to be there, and in the process, before I do that, I think, over to James chapter 1, if I may, again. And in James chapter 1, reminding you, if I can, the God, what are you telling us? Well, they had God's word. They heard God's word when they went to church back then. Very rarely, now to Harvard and all of that, had all different things. But generally speaking, that's what they heard. And they had been hearing it, God's word. They went to church and heard God's word. And therefore, we share together on Sunday, James 1:25, but whoso looketh, looking at with intensity, looking, stooping down to look at it, in fact, looking down into the perfect, complete, wanting nothing law of liberty, and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, they're looking, and we share together all of this, so we don't need to do a little bit, just a little bit to remind us, as you're looking at God's word, which I hope you are, and looking at God's word, look at it while you can. The day may come you never have it to look at. So James, here we are looking at God's word, and that's what they did. As we look at God's word, it's going to give us what? A wonderful, wonderful understanding of truth. And as we look at God's word, the truth, and we shared, you don't have to turn there, John 8 and 32 and verse 36, the truth will set you, what? Free. Verse 36, the Son will set you free. God's word and God's Son. That's where is this liberty I'm looking at? I'm reading, and we share together. The God tells us, the Lord tells us himself, that Genesis to Revelation is all about him. He said, you can't read the Bible without reading about me. So, as I look in the perfect law of liberty, God's word, I'm going to find the truth. The truth is going to set me free. That's what it's going to do. It's going to give me a freedom, a liberty, the perfect law of liberty. Where is the perfect law of liberty? In the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, God of very God. That's a wonderful thing, God, to bring me into the freedom, the exercise of being able to understand and experience your wonderful wholeness and perfection. In a light of the world of darkness and death, sin and suffering and sorrow, God, and there you are. So as we look, as they looked at the Word of God and did all that, then God always is forever. And we shared together on Sunday, among other things, remember that you hold the Word. You can hold the Word right now in your hand. And I trust you might. And you hold the Word in your hand. And you're reminded, if you're saved, all the while, God is holding you. You hold the Word, and God holds you. That's what, the support. I'm supported by God's. God said it. I believe it. And God said, I did say it, and I do it. And it is so. And God backs it up. So there's no question. So it isn't a question of that. That's what the Lord said. Not what people said. And by the way, if I got rid of the Bible right now, close the Bible and put it in a drawer and never open the drawer, can you do that? Sure, you could. And days of Hitler and that, burn them. You can do all that. Sure, you can. But you know what? Whether anyone likes it or not, all that God has said, he has said. And he doesn't need to read Genesis. Do you understand? God doesn't have to read Revelation. God doesn't have to read the promises. God is the promises. The Word become flesh. So when you can close your Bible and you're in the presence of God, that's why the Bible's okay. Because you're in the presence of God. And you aren't trusting the words in themselves. They're just words. But when the words come from God, that's different. Isn't it? You and I promise things, can say things, and never go anywhere. We say a lot, do a lot, think a lot, pew, all over the place. But God doesn't do that. So God, we need to hang on to the wonderful truth. Over to Psalm 11. In Psalm 11, may I pick up in thought, here's David. And David, remember, it with King Saul and all of that. And in the process, he's getting harassed and hunted and everything else. Now, so the people are saying, David, you need to get away. You need to hide. You need to do this. You need to do that. That's the thing. No, David, we love you. We want you. Now, David, how did you answer that? In the light of verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What do you do when the Declaration and the Constitution aren't believed? They aren't even hardly honored, even to the subpart of the Supreme Court. What do you do when it's all gone? Well, it wasn't, you weren't trusting the Declaration which we held up. It isn't the Declaration. Thank God for that, which points you to where? The Bible. The Declaration and Constitution say it's resting on the Bible. And we have the Bible. So we aren't trusting the Constitution, Declaration, because that was just given so there'd be a public document uniting the 13 colonies in a common cause, a common course that they would have. But with all of it was resting in the Bible. And that was what it was all about. But when you lose the Bible, of course, then you have no foundation at all. So here we are looking, God, and in Psalm, David, what are you doing? Verse 1, in the Lord I put my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? And then the reason, verse 2, for lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. They're about to shoot you. Run, run. David said, why would I run? They were telling David, you need to run. No, you don't need to run. Verse 3, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. So God, do we need to run anywhere? No. Where are we going to hide when it all evaporates more and more? And more difficulty and actually absurd things the people say today that I just couldn't even make sense. But when people say things that are so way out that don't even make sense, that tells you how serious the problem is. Because when they publicly say that and promote that, boy, there has to be some undercurrent there supporting it. And I don't want to get into all that. You understand that. Now, having said that, here's the psalm, David, and what are we going to do? We're going to look to you, God, to do what you do, and only you do. So we're going to go, David, and David doesn't need to run anywhere. No, we have a wonderful God and Savior. Over to Isaiah chapter 28. And in Isaiah chapter 28, you'd recall with the enemy and the need to make concessions to the enemy, make a treaty with hell and the devil and the death, etc. In verse 15 and that, sliding up to verse 16 in the light of the context. Therefore, Thus saith the Lord God, in the light of the conditions, in the light of the heartache and the headache. Therefore, saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, tried, proven, a precious stone, precious, proven stone, a sure, permanent foundation. He that is believing shall not make haste. And we're going to make haste, little verb to make haste, to cause, to make. You don't have to cause, because to what? To move at a distance, to move speedily. You don't have to run to safety if you're believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nowhere to go. Where do you need to go? Where does God need to go? Nowhere. Where are you going to run? You don't have to run. You have to trust and be trusting God. And that's how we get through it. And that's how the Constitution, Declaration, and all of these wonderful things. Now, and he that believeth shall not have to run. Now, David, you said it. And that's a wonderful thing that you said it. And the wonderful truth that you in the Declaration. Declaration and Constitution. It isn't about politics. The Declaration and Constitution is not about religion or idolatry or idols. You'll read that other places. You won't read that. No. It's all about God. All about God, His wonderful, wonderful person. And that's what they understood. A nation, quote-unquote, understood. Wow. And that's nice to live there, where people all have the right thing. So it's awful hard to be cuckoo, to do wrong things when all the setting around you is good and healthy. It's when it gets sick and sickly, that's when you got trouble. So now, here we are looking, God. And in the process, are you able to keep, I am, and all the illustrations you know, to have a firm reliance, resting down upon God and His Word? That's what the Constitution is. And we're going to rest down. And can God keep us, like David? Uh-huh. And me, Shadrach, and Abednego, Daniel chapter 3. Remember, they are going to bow down and worship the national image of the plain of Dura, Nebuchadnezzar. It's all nations worship. They wouldn't do it. And they ended up being thrown in the furnace. And they didn't care about being thrown in the furnace. If they didn't love their life like that. They knew their life would be gone. And it was all right. Because they were going to trust God. Whether they were here or there, they're going to trust God, and they did. And you know the wonderful, wonderful account where they threw in the furnace and they're bound up and they're all laying down. And then Nebuchadnezzar comes along and looks in and he says, what, there's four of them in there walking around. How do you walk around in that and walk out of that? And not a hair of your head is singed. Think of that. I got to tell you. Now, God, can you take care? They believed God. And Daniel, did you do it? He did. Pray. If you pray, you're going to go to jail, prison, lion's den. And that's what he did. Daniel chapter 6. And they put him in the lion's den. And they did. And the king didn't want to do that. Darius didn't want to do that. No. No, he hated it. But he had to, according to the law, and he did it. And Daniel went to lion's den, and Darius stayed up all night, worried about it. But he knew in his gut, something's different about this guy. And so when he got up in the morning, he wanted to see if Daniel was still there. And Daniel said, here I am. God gave all the lions a night's sleep, and me a night's sleep. And by the way, they're hungry. So if you take me out and throw those other guys in, they'll eat them all up. And Daniel went out. God, could you do those things? Absolutely. Absolutely I do. No wonder I do. And in the process, think over, if you would, just to see that a little bit. We have to move along quickly. Over to 1 Peter so you can get it for yourself. 1 Peter chapter 1. It's a wonderful thing. It just, we disconnect from God, that makes it all practical. It all works. That's the way it is. Leave God out, it doesn't work. That's all stupid and silly. Silly, it can't really be. Yeah, but it is. It is. Now, and so here's 1 Peter chapter 1, picking up if I can, in verse 4, to an inheritance. God has given us an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, God, you're going to keep us? We're going to have a nice little picnic? And no. I said, no. I'm going to keep you in the thick and thin of it. Verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold all kinds of different testings. What for? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, becoming, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. God, I'm waiting to go home. So God, it's a wonderful thing you have in mind. I do. And here we are on planet Earth, God, and here are the signers. The signers go, and they're going to sign the declaration, as you know. And the truths, I'll read a paragraph in it that you have. We hold these truths. What are we doing? We're looking at the truth of God. To know the truth of God will make you free. We hold these truths to be self-evident, obviously, that all men are created equal. They're all the same. There's no one different. Whether you put a crown upon someone's head or a chain around their body, they're still human. They're just humans. They don't have any more than anyone else, do they? They got a brain and nose and eyes and a little bit of that. That's all they got. They're all the same. Say, no, they aren't. Yes, they are. Go around and in the graves and find the, go to a very ritzy grave where you have very highfalutin people and go dig them up. And you'll find they're all the same, aren't they? They're all the same. They are from dust. And they go to dust. It doesn't make any difference how people feel and whatever their philosophy or their power or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. You're back to dust. Wow. Now, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator. That's how we came into the world. We aren't accidents and we aren't some freak thing that happened. No, God gave you a physical body by your parents, and God gave you a heart and soul, spirit, by himself. And no one else owns that. God alone does that. And if all of us, it's in our declaration, created. And if people would do that, instead of getting tied up and we're an evolved leaf or something, chemical reaction, do you know what a difference it would make? If you just understood, God made you. And what do we have to, now we got to go and try to convince people to think about it, that you just didn't happen because they're trying to battle out that who made me? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And they can't answer those questions rightly and comfortably. So now, these unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We therefore, the representatives of the United States, last paragraph, in general Congress, assembled, appealing to the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude, the straightness of our intentions, to do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly pledge and declare that these united colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. We are, God, you do what you do in your most wonderful thing. Now, when it comes down to the last paragraph, for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance. What are you relying on, gentlemen, all 56 of you, ultimately 61? What are you relying on? We're relying on what? Without question. For the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine God's providence. That's what we're trusting. Are you trusting something else? Why are we going to make it another day? Because we harvest and we beat the British? No. The only reason we can exist is because of God's management. And if we just did that, do you know how much it would make a difference? But we don't do that. No, that's where socialism, communism, and all that stuff comes in. We mutually pledge, the last part. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And they did. It was very, very costly. Very costly. Now, do you know our God and Savior, what did he do? He went to the cross. Do you know God in his wonderful person, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, made a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful decision that God the Son would become the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And the somewhere in the timelessness of God's wonderful person, he made a decision, a declaration to do what he was going to do. And he signed it all through the angels and the creation of the stars and everything. After all of that was necessary to prepare for what? That Jesus Christ could be born in Bethlehem of Judea and go to the cross and make a you can't miss it event. He's going to die on the cross. He declared it. He did it. And he said it loudly. And he hung on the cross to say it. It is finished. He did that. He wrote it. Our declaration was written by our founding fathers. But the declaration that made that possible is our Heavenly Father who died and made our own existence possible so that we could know him and honor him. And he signed it. And then he says, did you see your name? Did you see your name? Did you see your name? Everyone's name is there. Before the foundation of the world, every human being ever to be born was in front of him and their name. And he records it. He's going to die for them. So when he dies on the cross, he's dying for that great list of names for the rest of the humans that haven't even been created yet. And he died for all of them. He declared and did it. And when a boy, a girl, a man, a woman finds their name as a whosoever that believes, when they discover they're a whosoever, there's their name. And they believe, if they would. And they would not perish but have everlasting life. And they believe with their heart. Uh-huh. They believe. They signed their name. When I had to go to the surgeon and all that stuff today in the process, do you know how many papers I had to sign? I had a whole pile of papers And I said, I just need you to check something. You don't need all this. Just check it for me and tell me. That's all I want to know. And they got page, I got page. Sign your name. You know, I wasn't sure what I was signing. Did you ever read all those sheets? Oh, no. Whoever reads them? No, you just sign them. Now, God, you told me to sign up. And there's my name. And I receive the Lord Jesus Christ. We do as our Savior. And we believe that's my name up there. That's my name. My name. If I had the original document out again, I'd have all those names. A copy of the document. All those names. And God has your name in that book. And I signed it. Do you? I was glad to sign my name. You betcha. You bet. Yes, sir. No one else does that. No, I gotta quit. Now, before in quitting, we'll have a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word and work. Thank you for thy opportunity to even be reminded a little bit of how it all comes together. And God, thank you for the wonder and the wonderment of it all. God, here we are. Now, in the light of that, God, help us to walk a straight line with a full heart, excitingly looking for your trumpet to sound. The Liberty Bell was cracked and sounded no more. And there's no more to hear the Liberty, the Jubilee, the 50th year. No, no, all gone. But God, we're waiting. A sound in heaven, from heaven, the trump of God. And we'll all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And we're waiting to hear in a moment, in a microsecond, to be caught up. And our God, we thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.